ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This evening we read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, continuation, second chapter, text 11. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Asochyan Anvasochyas Tvam Prakya Vadams Cha Pasase Katasun Agatasum cha nanu sochati panditaha Shri Bhagavan vacha asochan anvasochastvam asochan anvasochastvam prakya vacham cha pasase Rakya vatam chapasase Kata sunakata tumscha Kata sunakata tumscha Nanu sochanti panditaha Nanu sochanti panditaha Asochyanan vasochastvam Rakyavatamscha pasase Katasunakatasumscha Nanu sochanti panditaha Tati panditaha Shri Bhagavan vacha The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Asochyan, not worthy of lamentation. Anvasocha, you are lamenting. Tvam, you. Pragyavadan, learned talks. Cha, also. Pasase, speaking. Gata, lost. Asun, life. Agata, not past. Asun, life. Cha, also. Na, never. Anusochati, lament. Panditaha, the learned. Purport by Svangai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A translation and purport by Svangai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. Purport. The Lord at once took the position of the teacher and chastised the student, calling him indirectly a fool. The Lord said, you are talking like a learned man, but you do not know that one who is learned, one who knows what is body and what is soul, does not lament for any stage of the body, neither in the living nor in the dead condition. As explained in later chapters, it will be clear that knowledge means to know matter and spirit and the controller of both. Arjuna argued that religious principle, dharma, dharma shastra, I use now Sanskrit words, not quoted here, from dharma shastra, should be given more importance than politics or sociology, artha shastra. But he did not know that knowledge of matter, soul, and the Supreme is even more important. But he didn't know that knowledge of matter, soul, and the Supreme is even more important than religious formalities described in the Dharma Shastra. And because he was lacking in that knowledge, he should not have passed himself as a very learned man. As he did not happen to be a very learned man, he was consequently lamenting for something which was unworthy of lamentation. The body is born and destined to be vanquished today or tomorrow, therefore the body is not as important as the soul. One who knows this is actually learned, and for him there is no cause for lamentation, regardless of the condition of the material body. Asochyanam vasochya stvam pragya vadamscha pasase gatasuna gatasumsa nanu sochati panditaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning, that means lamenting, for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. Oma kyati maranyasi agananchana salakyam chakshurun militam yena tasma shi gurave namaha si chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svabhadantikam vandesi krishna chaitanya nityananda sahoditao gaudatai pushpavanto chitta chanto tamonadao Manchakalpatruvyasa Kripasindabhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Chagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. So, then this stage of second chapter, beginning of second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and in general, these first two chapters, it is very important for the listener or for the reader that you put yourself in the position of Arjuna. Yeah, not Arjuna, but put yourself as you would be Arjuna in his situation. What you would do? Would you not also have the same argument? Same compassion? Same sympathy for seniors, like Guru, Drona, Charya. Same sympathy for grandsire of the whole dynasty, who is honored all over the universe as Bhishma Dev, great personality, son of Ganga. And for all those on the battlefield to kill brothers, friends, because many were ready to fight against Arjuna to kill him. But they would think, if you see all these warrior friends, relatives, superiors, guru, teacher, well-wishers, grandsires, very honorable kings from many royal houses of the kings at that time, from dynasties, very powerful. They were assembled there. So we can understand and about this sympathy and compassion and overwhelming mind Arjuna had to participate in this war now, to fight against them, and most properly kill them or hurt them. So he was completely overpowered. We also will be overpowered from this sentiment. Everyone in this world will be overpowered by this sentiment of seeing somebody, to kill somebody who is very honorable, to kill even any living entity. Of course, for demons, no problem. They like to do this kind of work. They feel even happy in this way. But for somebody who has a little soul in the heart and some feeling and godliness, some spark of godliness in the heart, he will feel the same like Arjuna. And we will take completely Arjuna's side and will think, hey Krishna, why you are now chastising him? Even mildly now, so indirectly chastise him, you're a fool. Of course Arjuna surrendered now at this point. Although Krishna and Arjuna, they're eternal friends. Eternally, they're in friendly relationship. But now Arjuna accepted lower position, accepting Krishna as teacher, as guru, in text 7 of the 7th chapter. He surrendered. So now I surrender to you. I'm confused. I don't know anymore what is right and what is wrong. What should I do, what I should not do? I surrender to you now. Please instruct. I surrender to you now. Please instruct me. I'm your shishya now, your disciple. Shishya means you become submissive. You surrender to the teachings and to the words from Spiritual Master, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Korya Aikya. The words of the Guru for the Shishya, for the disciple, are worshipable. Sakshat Harid Venasa Master Shastraya Uktasta Tapa Vyata Eva Sadpi. So, Guru is representative of Krishna. Sakshat Hari is directly representative, is therefore one should accepting in the same way as we would accept Krishna. Arjuna had fortune to hear directly now from Krishna and learn from him, and can also learn from the disciplic succession from Arjuna by hearing from the experienced spiritual masters who have heard from the parampara coming from Arjuna or from other sampradayas and from different ways how this knowledge comes down to this world. So it's important to listen, to take carefully listen to this message, because this message coming from the Supreme Lord, transmitted through the parampara, is very important. It is something that is above the mundane religiosity of described in the Dharma scriptures and above the moralistic behavior to be a gentleman and moralistic and fair and respectful that is described in the Artha Shastras, Artha scriptures, varieties of scriptures, Shastras, described by different sages. Arjuna personally says more higher than Artha Shastra is Dharma Shastra. Now Krishna says even more higher than these two is Gyan, transcendental knowledge. Because the transcendental knowledge is not from this world. In this material world we have these moralistic teachings of the Niti Shastra, are interesting for the politics. Arjuna was certainly educated as a kshatriya in the Niti Shastra and also in the Dharma Shastra, because that's the general lessons that a kshatriya learns in the Gurukula. He doesn't learn about transcendental knowledge. He learns about this kind of shastra scriptures, who are they're called aparavida. There are two kinds of knowledge, apara and para vida. So apara means materialistic knowledge, also important, because this kind of shastra and their teachers, they want to teach humanity how to become a human being, how to behave properly, how to become gentlemen and merciful, compassionate, and honest. Because if we don't have this, then how we can understand transcendental knowledge? Of course, transcendental knowledge is not dependent on if you were pious or impious before. If the Lord, or by chance, a living entity gets the opportunity to receive transcendental knowledge, then that soul is considered very switched off. And that soul is considered very, very fortunate. Very fortunate soul. If one can receive transcendental knowledge from spiritual master sent by Krishna to you, because Krishna is represented as super soul within the heart, as Chaita Guru. But we cannot perceive him. This Lord in the heart, we cannot perceive with our materialistic consciousness and awareness, Ataksi Krishna Namati, Nabhave, Krayam Indriyai, as described in the Purana, Padma Purana. We cannot understand and see Krishna, his name, his pastimes, his qualities, his nature with our material senses. Because they're too much dull, too much covered by avidya, ignorance. Living entity by nature, from beginning of creation, becomes covered by avidya, ignorance, tamasa, different kinds of tamasa. And this avidya is understood or recognized in the wrong conception that I'm this body. That I'm this body, that I'm the doer, that I'm the enjoyer, and that we are also are conquered by lust and greed and different kinds of illusions, self-interests. And if we have these different kind of gains we desired, if we gained a lot of that what we desired and made plan, family plan, business plan, fortune plan in this world, if we achieve it and we get more and more, we become very concerned, we become very much afraid how to lose it and also how to protect it from different external sources who maybe will make you poverty stricken again and poor, and everything you will lose. So every living entity who is embodied in this material world has a natural instinct or awareness about to become somehow happy by eating, by procreating, by expanding family and property and at least house or some paraphernalia like that, and then later on to maintain, and the anxiety to maintain it. So what is natural for the animals, for the humans, and for the humans and for the animals. Everyone has to eat, everyone has to sleep, everyone has to defend. Like that. And everyone is afraid. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So these four things, forces, we call them forces. We cannot avoid it. Everyone in the conditioned world, in the body, embodied living entity, is conquered by these four forces. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. You don't have to go to school for that. The animals also have the same. Therefore, one great Vaishnava poet says, if I, Prabhupada quoted him sometimes, he says, what is the difference between a human being and an animal? Because both are endeavoring for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So why you have to be proud? I'm a human. And this is an animal, therefore I can kill it and I can eat it. It's the same mentality. So we should not think I'm a better, more elevated living entity than an animal. If our consciousness is only on eating, mating, sleeping, and defending, then we should not be proud. I'm a very cultured, much more advanced human being in the 21st century of this time, millennium, than all our forefathers and origins, aborigines of our different nations. They call them very primitive, or the animals, animal-like, Neanderthaler-like. Very primitive. But actually, you do the same. They did the same. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. We do the same. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Maybe in a very little more, in a plastic way. Plastic and glass way. And electronic way. In the Stone Age, they used it in a stone way. Because the material what they had, that was the material they had. Stones. Now we invented plastic and electronics and like that. And plastic and glass. So we do it in this way. Now we're very advanced, because you have now a mobile phone, not anymore in plastic. You have it in glass. And now everyone wants to buy glass cell phone. Because the industry tells you, buy glass cell phone, because it looks more cool. Backside glass, front side glass, should be even a little elevated, that it becomes three-dimensional. And then when it drops down on the floor, it breaks. It breaks more easily than a plastic one, or a stone one, or a wooden one. And we cry, and we have to go to smartphone, cell phone doctor. Nowadays, they're blossoming like anything in the cities. Every city, every street practically has already clinics, for your phones. Yeah. Why? Because the phones become so made, they always break. Then you lament, and you have to go to them. Say, no problem, we will repair everything. It will not cost $800 or $9,000 like you paid, only half the price. So. Half the price you have to pay, to get your broken phone repaired again, so that it can break again.
And after some time, a new one will come out, and then again, we need, okay, now a better one will come out, so we have to get this one, and then this one, and this one. Nothing is ultimately satisfying, and everyone is always happy if I have the latest one, and I become very unhappy if it breaks, or if not the latest one, then I become very much sad. I lament. Lament about plastic, glass, electronics. So what's the problem? From why you think you're better than Neanderthaler? You know, they only were lamenting, you know, when they got the stone on the head. So, but now we are in the same mentality. We're just this, because we are this, we have the same emotions. And these are then they don't no change, because that's the emotions what the conditioned soul has, who is embodied in a gross and in a subtle body. Two bodies we have. Now we're only concerned about the external body. We don't even see a subtle body. And we lament all the time about this one. What is not proper? What is not functioning proper? What is not good enough? We even have to go to improve it in so many ways. I don't like my eyes anymore. No problem. You don't like blue eyes, so we make you black eyes. We can make you yellow eyes even, if you like, or red ones. No problem. They make all kinds of chirurgical operations. You know, to make the body was anyway falling apart all the time and ultimately completely. Make all kinds of operations and hormones to make it more beautiful. And so many makeups. Also to make it more beautiful. But in the end, the reality will come, you know. You're not actually so beautiful as you would like to be. And then you see in your mirror, you know, that when these makeups and after some years, all these operations make themselves visible, you know. You even look worse than before. And then you become shocked, you know. You become completely shocked. And again, you have to go to the doctor. Can you give me a better face? A better appearance? That's completely bodily conception of life. The whole material world is completely in bodily conception of life. And it's the same thousands of millions or all the time. In the material world, that is the story. And the living entity in this embodied, in this human form of life, or animal form of life, is always suffering. And the human being, although it has an opportunity to solve the problem of repetition of birth and death, and make it more worse. We want to stay as much as possible in the material world, in this body. And that's of course natural, because nobody wants to die. And everyone wants to keep his body fit. It's your duty to keep your body fit as long it is usable in some activities. So this body, it's a temporary thing. It's like a vehicle, like a car. People so much identifying not only with the body, also with the car. Cannot even touch somebody's car. They say, be careful. Don't touch it again, otherwise I beat you, or we call police. You cannot enter in somebody's garden. And they say, I shoot you. Or be careful, have to beware of the biting dog, who will come, woof, woof, woof. Don't make even a step on my ground. And if you want to come to my fatherland, to my home, to my country, you know, you need so many visas and qualifications. And if they don't like you, they don't let you in. So this is all bodily conception of life. even 5,000 years ago, Krishna, and he was in Kurukshetra after the war, because Kurukshetra is a holy place, Dharma Kshetra. What do you do in a Dharma Kshetra? You do sacrifice, you give donation to the sadhus, to the brahmanas. You worship the brahmanas, honor them, offer your obeisances to them, receive blessings. So Krishna one time he decided to visit Kurukshetra with his family from the Yadus, from Dwaraka, on a solar eclipse. Because solar eclipses, it's not auspicious to look at the sun or at the moon in this time, but actually go and visit a holy place a holy place, and give charity and do something charitable, something very religious, something very nothing materialistic. In this time, nothing materialistic should be done. Only something pleasing to the Lord and pleasing to the brahmanas, because if you please the brahmanas, the Lord is pleased. So there were many sages there in Kurukshetra who are living there. And for a sage who lives in the Kshetra, it's called the Kshetra Sannyasi. He never leaves that place. He always stays in that place. Like those who live always in Jagannath Puri. That's called a Kshetra Sannyasi. Like Gadadhar Pandit, very close associate of Lord Chaitanya, he was a Kshetra Sannyasi, always living in Jagannath Puri. The Lord didn't like that to travel with him to Vrindavan. You stay there because it's your vow to never leave the Kshetra. So in the Kshetra there are many saintly persons who do prayers there, japa, studying scriptures, yagya, for the well-being of themselves and others. So Krishna wanted to teach his family. Now we are visiting a holy place. Don't now go there just to perform a yagya sacrifice for your fruitive desires and benefits. Or take a bath in a holy river or a holy lake. In Kurukshetra there are lakes. Should not take a bath. Just go there to take a bath, to become purified. So he spoke this very famous verse, Prabhupada many times quotes, also in relation to this verse of today's Bhagavad Gita. It's called Yasyatma Bude Kunape Tridatuke Yadi Kalatra Adishu Pauma Ichadi Yatirta Budhi Salile Nakarichich Chaneshu Abhigeshu Saeva Gokara. This verse is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Don't remember chapter now, where Krishna tells to his family, so yasatma buddhe kunape tridatuke. So those who have their buddhi, their intelligence fixed on this material body, who is made of tridatu, this body is made of tridatu, kappa, pitta, vata. If you're a little diseased, then we feel kappa, pitta, vata disturbances very easily. We can recognize either too much air in one way or another. You feel the air pressure coming out or pressing somewhere. Kappa, pitta, a lot of heat or fire in the body, or fever that's caused by pitta. Red head, high pressure. Blood pressure, pitta, kappa, pitta, kappa, mucus, especially in this season now, so many devotees, and also in the winter season, kappa, the mucus problem is there. Bengal also very much prominent, this mucus problem because of humidity. So it is very strong, this kapha. Kapha, pitta, vata. Actually, the body is the three basic elements of the body is this, the three elements. And it's packed up in the back of skin, and bones, and blood, and etc. And Krishna says, those who identify themselves with this bag full of kapha, pitta, vata, and the byproduct of it, stool, urine, blood, that's all byproduct, emanating from kapha, pitta, vata. Those who are identifying themselves with this bag, full of these ingredients, and think this is me, this is very beautiful, I like it, I love it. And my fatherland, where this bag full of bones, blood, stool, urine, and kapha, pitta, vata is born. Is worshipable. It's my father, motherland. It's worshipable. Baumaichadi. Baumaichadi means also to my state religion or the religion my country has adopted from forefathers, from our ancestors, is my religion. It's my belief, and I cannot accept anything else than that. This is also like nationality identification, too much. Baumichati. Yatirta buddhi. And who goes to a tirta, to a holy place, to just take a bath there, and not listening from the sadhus residing in that places, here, Krishna Katha, or about the significance of this holy place, here in Vrindavan, you hear about Krishna, if you go to Ayodhya, you hear about Ramlila, if you go to Kurukshetra, you hear about Parushuram, and about how Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and Mahabharata, from whom you can hear it, you hear it from the sadhus, who daily recite from these scriptures. There's a And there are different scriptures that describe the glories of that place in connection with a certain avatar. It's called the Mahima. So therefore there's a Kshetra Mahima, there's a Vrindavan Mahima, there is an Ayodhya Mahima, there is an Varanasi, Kasi Mahima, the glories of Kasi, from different Puranas, like Skanda Purana, and all the Puranas, they always describe, or from Puri, Purushottama, the glories of Purushottama Kshetra, it's all described in Shastra, in the revealed scriptures, in the Puranas. So we hear about these glories from the sadhus who reside in these places, who are always absorbed in this knowledge, about this transcendental knowledge. And by receiving this transcendental knowledge, this transcendental message from the realized sages, because they're every day residing and absorbing their minds in this katha and in this knowledge, and they're initiated in this knowledge by the superior spiritual master. This is the real thing, to visit the holy place. But if we are not doing that, if we are only visiting a holy place for the sake of taking a bath, then Krishna says, that's not different than what the asses and what the cows are doing, or buffaloes. Saeva gokara. So we are not different then. So he trained. Krishna wanted to teach his family members. Don't be on the bodily concept of life. They were all kshatriyas and princes. So Krishna teach them this significance, how to worship Brahmanas, the Brahminical culture, and learn transcendental knowledge that we are not this body, that we are temporary. This body is temporary, and that actually the soul, the Atma, Brahma Jigyasa, this is the important thing to ask questions for. Not questions of how to eat, how to sleep, and how to defend, and how to solve all my problems. Because this is natural. Bhagavatam says, Narada Shiksha to Vyasa. Narada says, it is natural, happiness and suffering. Dasyaiva heta kavita, dasyaya heta kavita. Anyway, starting with this, I don't have in mind now. Happiness, endeavoring for happiness and avoiding distress, is something unnecessarily. Because everyone is trying to make so much endeavor to become happy and to avoid distress. And we think, if I have no more distress, if all my distresses and anxieties are solved, then I'm happy. But the situation is, the reality is like that. It is not solved. Because after misery is going, happiness maybe will be, but for how long time? Radharani says just a couple of days. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can read. And Lord Chaitanya speaks with Lord Jagannath in his ecstasy, dancing before Lord Jagannath. Radharani says, it's only a few, youth is only a short time. And then we become overpowered by old age and disease. So it is very natural. Therefore, Narada Muni, he concludes, there's no necessity to improve happiness and to avoid or to remove distress and to increase happiness, to cultivate happiness. Because happiness and distress comes on his own accord. Naturally, without endeavor. Isn't it not like that? Sometimes if you wake up in the morning, you're causelessly happy. From where you receive this happiness? You cultivated overnight happiness? And one time in the morning, causelessly, without thinking about it, you feel unhappy. So many anxieties, bad dreams. So what to do? We have to learn how to tolerate. That's now the lesson that Krishna gives. Krishna now takes the position not of friend anymore. Although they are eternal friends. He's eternally friendly with Arjuna. And well-wishing. But now he speaks to Krishna, to Arjuna as a teacher, as guru. Because Arjuna asked him, requested him like that. Please instruct me now. So now Krishna is not sentimental anymore. He's not now speaking to pacify the situation in some sweet words. Because if you have a boil, if you have a boil on your body, you know, then you have to go and ask, contact the doctor. Then he can remove the boil. You cannot go to your relatives. What should I do with it? I have a boil, mommy. The mommy says, oh, my dear, my honey. In America say honey. Honey, oh. She starts to blow on it. Put her saliva on it. To somehow or other pacify it. Now it will become good. But it will not go away. So the mother is anxiety. Oh, my son, he has a boil. So she goes to someone else, calling somebody else. somebody else comes. And that was actually Prabhupada tells this story many times. And somebody else comes. The sister comes. Let's say sister comes. The sister thinks, maybe you should put some cream on it. Some ointment, some cream, so that will heal the boil. At least it looks good, and maybe with the time it will, go that away. But still, it doesn't go away. So then an uncle comes. They call the uncle. Uncle Jack, can you come? Our son has a boil. And this Uncle Jack is a Buddhist. Bad luck. So ask him, what to do? What you advise? So the Uncle Jack says, to me it seems to solve both problems, the boil problem and the boy's problem of suffering in this world, I recommend him to kill him. Just kill him. He has no more problem. The boil is not a problem anymore, and he has not any more anxiety that he will get all the boils and more worse problems. And you can imagine, not the whole family was in great shock to hear about that. To kill, practically, make a suicide, killing yourself. Ultimately they realize we have to call some reasonable doctor now, not this Jack here, this Buddhist is useless. And the other mama and the sister is also not very available now in this situation, so they finally got a good idea to call the doctor. And the boy, doctor sees the boy and the boy, so he takes out the suitcase and takes out the knife, scalpel, very sharp, to cut off. And then the boy, when he sees the knife, he's screaming, "Oh, you want to kill me?" So he becomes afraid. But the doctor, he pacifies him and just a little cut, And then the pulse is out, and very very soon the problem was solved. So Krishna didn't spoke about around boil to pacify the boil. Arjuna's problem. We all have some problems in form of boils. And they have so many well wishes. They either blow on it, they lick on it, they put cream on it, they put colors on it, makeups on it, but the problem is not solved. The problem is only solved if you consult with doctor. So we have to, in this case, if you want to solve the problem of the real disease, what is the real disease? It's Bhavaroga. Bhavaroga. The disease of repeated birth and death. The repetition of birth and death. That has to be solved. Like one time, somebody who people are interested in magic. Many times they go to Guru or Sadhu or Siddha Baba. They ask, some cities, you have some cities? Because it became very popular in Kali Yuga. Somebody takes out gold from the hair or ashes or creates, manifests something from a mango from somewhere, or a pomegranate, but is maybe not available on your market. So the yogi manifests it. So everyone is amazed. Oh, he's Sita. So they worship him, they respect him, and they have so much faith in him. So somebody came to Prabhupada. You have some city? Can you cure cancer? Prabhupada says, of course I can cure cancer. Prabhupada was not sentimental, you know, so because he was convinced about the process. Of course I know how to cure the cancer. Therefore I give you Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because if you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and follow this process of Krishna consciousness, you, in the end, when, when you give up the body, with cancer or without cancer, anyway we have to give up the body, you will go to Krishna. That means in next life, because you have a spiritual body, no more cancer. So the problem of cancer is solved. So Krishna is the best doctor, is the best guru, the best teacher. Because he knows our inside, he knows our heart, our mind, our concern about everything. He's actually inside of everyone of our heart, a super soul, but we cannot perceive him because we are too much mental. You know that? We are too much mental. The only blockade between the channel of the soul to the super soul is the mind. And because we're listening not on the super soul, we're listening all the time of the mind. Therefore we cannot hear super soul. Nayam atma pravachanena labhya namedhaya nabahuna shrutena. So we cannot receive the darshan of the super soul, or that the super soul speaks to us with nice education of scriptures. Nayam atma pravachena, by speaking about it, pravacha, very much speaking about it, about his knowledge and about the super soul. It's not revealed. Namedaya, not by our intelligence. Na bahuna shrutena, not by studying about it. It is only revealed when the Lord wants to reveal himself out of his causeless mercy. He will give you darshan, like sunshine. If there is darkness, you can have the best torchlight to find out about the sun, you will not find. But when the sun decides to rise in the morning, it will out naturally be here. So we don't have to find out an artificial way, you know, how to see the sun. The sun appears, it's there. Even if it is not visible now. So if it is not visible now, we hear about that. We have faith and we try to focus on the sun, Krishna sun. And the day will come, the morning will come, and the sun will rise, and then you have the darshan of the Lord. So those who are meditating about Krishna, absorbing their mind in Krishna consciousness, they're not on the bodily concept anymore. They're called sages, or self-realized souls. An atmavit, or a tattvavit. He knows the truth. He knows what is the Atma. He's always absorbed in this Brahmananda, in the bliss of Brahman, or in the devotional service of the Lord. And he never deviates from that. That's later on then described in the third chapter. And so on. The Sthita Pragya Muni, who meditates about the super soul, never deviates from it at any time. 24 hours a day, constantly, all the time. So Krishna, who now shows himself as the universal guru, he's giving example also of the self-realized sages. How they're called? The Sanskrit word? Pragya. What is it? Pragya Vadams. What is Pragya Vadams? Pragyavadam. Learn talks. We are sometimes speak very learned, you know. But those who are really learned, not only materially learned, they're called pandita. Pandit. Somebody who is learned. Somebody who is not learned, he's a bandit. Who presents himself as pandit, but he's actually not learned, and then he's a bandit. So a pandit is not lamenting. He's always absorbed in this transcendental knowledge. Nimai is also known as pandit. Nimai pandit. Jagadananda pandit. There are great pandits. Greatly absorbed in the transcendental knowledge. In material knowledge and transcendental knowledge. Both can be pandits. But here Krishna speaks about the pandit who has transcendental knowledge, who has knowledge about the soul, Atma. Later on he describes who a pandit is. What is how the verse begins? The pandit verse. Huh? Yeah, the first line. Vidya. Huh? Vidya? Yeah. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gasti hastini suni chaiva svapakhe cha pandita samadashina. Yes. Thank you. I see we have some pandits here. So the pandit means he who sees a brahmana with equal-minded brahmana, a dog eater, and a dog, an elephant, hasti, elephant. He sees with equal eyes. He's not impressed and gives special attention. Oh, here is an elephant. Oh, here is a brahmana. And here is a dog, I'm afraid of it. Because he's a dog, he will maybe bite me. He sees everyone equal, because he sees super soul. The soul and super soul in everyone's heart. So he's not in anxiety. Because he has this knowledge that I am the soul, I'm eternal, aham brahmasmi, that's my real identity, aham brahmasmi, I'm eternal spirit soul, or as Lord Chaitanya says, I'm Gopi Bhartu Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anu Dasa. I'm the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis. This is the real identity. To see ourselves in relation to the Absolute Truth, to Krishna, a servant of Krishna. But as long as we think I'm the material body, we cannot see ourselves as a servant of Krishna, because we cannot serve Krishna with material body. We can only serve him with our spiritual body, with our Swarup. Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, with the time, by devotional service, hearing, chanting, seriously, taking shelter in this process, gradually one will realize that I'm eternal, but not only eternal, what? I'm an eternal what, and not a spark. It's also not very blissful to just be a spark in the Brahman is blissful, you know, but that ultimately is not the highest perfection for the Vaishnava. To just think about yourself, I'm a spark, now I'm a human being, I can have so many facility and opportunities to do something. But a spark, you know, I have only just bliss in Brahman. Of course, it's nice, because after all, we do many things, you know, to get what? Bliss. We do so many things, you know, but with the result for what? What is the idea dahinter? I want to become happy. And the impersonalist goes into the Brahman Jyoti, the spark, what he wants, also bliss, but without bodily experience. Therefore it's considered higher than the materialistic concept. But higher than that is the devotional service to Krishna, to become an associate of Krishna, to participate in Krishna's Leela. In one of the active rasas, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. This is ultimately the goal. That's the goal, to serve Krishna in that Leela, in serving the dear devotees who are never forget Krishna, to always stay with them in service. And this we already start now by serving the spiritual master, serving the acharyas, the parampara, who are coming from Krishna, sent from by Krishna, the Krishna's eternal associates. If we are serving them, if we are following their instructions and their example, their teaching, then that will lead to perfection. Then ignorance, avidya, will become removed, and our dark chamber of the heart or consciousness become enlightened by transcendental knowledge. And the transcendental knowledge is so powerful, like the sun. You don't have to think, you know, how darkness will be removed by the sun will do it automatically. When this transcendental knowledge of Krishna consciousness manifests, then naturally all darkness, all ignorance, all avidya, all anxieties, all so-called happiness and distress, will be removed. Because then you see everything from other level, from the perspective of the transcendence, of Krishna's vision, Krishna's view. That was the unique thing that Prabhupada had, who showed us, in any situation he was always Krishna conscious. He always stood aloof. So many flipped out, they didn't know anything to do anymore, but how to go further. But Prabhupada was always here, and he was like a fixed star. If you lose orientation, we need a fixed star, to orient ourselves. So Srila Prabhupada is always here for us, always giving us steady example and teachings, unwavering, not swifting away at any time. If you're listening to Prabhupada lectures from 1966 until 1977, it's always the same. No change. That makes him acharya. That makes him steady. That he was steady, absorbed. He didn't change philosophy or the moods or made compromises according to time, places and circumstances. He always stick to the message given by Krishna, because he always said, these books are not written by me. These books are Krishna dictated to me. I just wrote it down or dictated, but Krishna dictated to me. So Prabhupada's words, Prabhupada's purports are not his words, he says, it's Krishna's words. And that's the way how we have to see it. To see everything in relation to Krishna. Because Krishna and the Vaishnava, who is in relation with Krishna, especially the Acharya, the Guru, is not separate. He's always united in yoga with Krishna. They're always together, always connected. Like one time, Srila Prabhupada, in Mayapur, they had first this small temple room where Radha Madhava, the small Radha Madhava, were installed with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Metal. Radha Madhava. Remember, small ones. Many of you don't see them anymore, because now it's very big ones. You don't see the original ones installed by Srila Prabhupada. Radha Madhava. This Radha Madhava were first in a smaller temple. Now the devotees chant there, Japa. It's behind Prabhupada's Vyasasan in Mayapur. That was the old temple. And the altar was on that. The altar was on this side, and the Vyasasan on this side. Anyway, there was the confusion of the devotees, of the managers, where the Buddha Prabhupada's Vyasasan. Because they considered if the Vyasasan is on this side, it's too far for Prabhupada to see the deity, to have darshan, to see Radha Madhava. Therefore, they thought, we have to put the Vyasasan more near to the altar, so that the Prabhupada can have a nice view of Radha Madhava. So when Prabhupada heard about that, he was saying, there's no distance between me and Krishna. So therefore there's not a problem in order to put the Vyasasan opposite. It's not that I'm more near to Krishna and that I'm more far away of Krishna if you put me there.
Just opposite of this
Vyasasan.
And it's very far.
Now it's even more far. But the deities, of course, are very much big now. But that time the deities are this size. And if you maybe, this temple room maybe has, 50 meters, 50 or 60 meters, like that.
Dimension,
no? To the altar, then the deity becomes very small, you know. Yeah, but we speak about this smaller Radha Madhava. And there's another story of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj, Guru Maharaj of Prabhupada. He had not good vision, you know, so like many of us, he has glasses. But whenever he went to darshan of the deities on the altar, he took the glasses off. He never had the glasses with him. He was always standing there before the deities without glasses. So some disciples they thought, Guru requested him, Guru Maharaj, it's not better, maybe you wear your glasses because then you can see Krishna better. Then what he says, it's not important that I have to see Krishna, it's important that he sees me. Because if I see Krishna and he doesn't want to see me, what is the use? What is the use? What kind of Krishna I will see if he doesn't want to see me? He is the sun. Only when the sun rises on the horizon and gives me the light, I have eyes, then I can see. And I can see even as a blind man. Like Bhila Mangala Thakur. Or so many sadhus here in Vrindavan. They were blind. They hear about one sadhu in Varshana. He was a blind sadhu, blind Vaishnava, Baba. And he had a darshan of Radha Krishna, peacock dance. There's one temple there, Morkutir. Morkutir. And Varshana. And they have this painting of Radha Krishna peacock dance. They dance like peacocks. And this painting was painted by a blind sadhu. How was it possible? Because he had a real vision. He had a real darshan. So the darshan is not only I can see materialized Krishna. Like Prabhupada many times say, it's not that because a fly is on the head of Guru, that he is near to Guru, or on the head or ahead of the deity. What the fly will get there? What he will do there? Only try to, there is something I can relish there, you know, enjoy, according to his mentality. fly mentality. So we are not near if we come to Krishna or to Guru if we are in fly consciousness. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's point. I have to have a serving spirit. And Krishna, when Krishna sees my seva, my service attitude, that's the darshan. That is what Krishna sees. And that's how we can see Krishna and perceive Krishna consciousness, by service attitude. Okay, already late again, sorry. Hare Krishna, I stop here, I don't want to go further. Maybe some question? A comment, Maharaj? Or maybe I forgot something? Prabhu? Prabhu Madhiji? Maybe I forgot something? You have some...
No question, but very often I hear speakers say what you said, and that is that we're all in this consciousness that Arjuna was faced with on the battle of Kurukshetra, that we have this meditation and connection in our heart for our material life and our relatives. But then I can't recall ever hearing what really to do about that besides chanting Hare Krishna. What is supposed to be our attitude on this path of getting out of this? For instance, we have children, we have husbands, we have mothers, fathers, we have pets, last night I left the class that did a really nice class last night. I went out here, my shoes were gone. He had talked about attachments. I was in complete anxiety. I couldn't find my shoes. I was so attached to my shoes, you know? And I was thinking about that, how, you know, I just heard this class. So what?
Where are you going? That's the school. That's the school. We have to learn that.
We just accept.
No, we just have to. Now your shoes is gone. In your case now.
My persistence, I found them. They were clear around
the other side. You see, because sometimes there somebody comes and cleans it, this place, and then bring it somewhere over there on this side, because they don't like to have the shoes on this side and near the temple, so they put them more on that side. Anyway, we have to learn. Life is a lesson. How to detach ourselves. We become surprised. Actually, all the time we become surprised. You know how we are not prepared. How we are not ready for minimal lesson. Now you got the lesson with the shoes, and already got so much anxiety.
I myself would forgive my children anything, and in fact one of my children died, and that was 17 years ago, and I still have that.
You must have a trauma for that, huh?
Yeah,
that's natural. No, that's natural. Therefore I say we can understand Arjuna, we have full sympathy for Arjuna, but Krishna, he didn't show any sentiment. Before he would not tell him, you know, as friend. But now, because Arjuna readied himself, he surrendered himself, you are my guru, I'm confused, I'm fool. He actually presented himself, I'm fool. Please instruct me. So surrendering to guru means you have to be ready to follow the instruction of guru. And not you. And even if it is difficult for you to accept, you have to accept that. You know, otherwise, what other alternative you have? Because if you accept Guru and you're not following his instruction because you not like it, or you feel I'm not ready for it, then you become guilty as a guru avagya. That means you're avoiding, you're neglecting guru's instruction.
And then, I do follow four regular principles and I chant 16 rounds. I try to read Bhagavad Gita, but I always come to that point like, what's the real message for me in the Bhagavad Gita? I mean, they say the message of the Bhagavad Gita is to realize Krishna is God. Of course, we all realize Krishna is God in one degree or another. We all accept that Krishna is God and that the ultimate truth is there. And that Srila Prabhupada is a spiritual master, Jagat Guru. But at what point do these things leave us, these attachments leave us, like for your mother, your father, your children?
Anyway, you already showed your detachment from your father and mother and etc. when you joined, you know. You one time joined, not Krishna Consciousness Movement.
A long time ago.
Long time.
Maybe
you forgot, eh? I remember, you know, we gave up so many things. My best friends, you know, so-called, you know, they came to the temple, you know, with the purpose to get me out of it. That was a good one, you know. They came, you know, two of them, and they came with the sentiment, you know, you remember what we actually before you went to the temple we had so many plans, you know, to create some kind of what they call also spiritual in that time, you know. You know, that time everything was spiritual, the love. The community to live together, you know, in happy, peaceful mood. It was all called spiritual, you know, in the guise of spiritual. We had so many plans, you know. Now you're run away. You're hiding yourself in a temple. What you're doing here, you know? Yeah, because Krishna tricked you. he tricked all of us. Because I also think now later when I think about it, you know, what I gave up, you know, and what I did, you know, now even today I think, you know, this was really, really crazy and cruel. And if I would be maybe aware about it, what I did, I would never do it. So, but somehow, you know, I don't know, Krishna must stay behind it.
Yeah.
That he made you this decision to go to the temple and give up your family, your profession, your career, your money, to your friends, your country. You didn't care about anything anymore, suddenly, you know. Before we cared about everything so much, it was so much value in our life, everything. But suddenly has no more value, you know, because Krishna somehow or other, he confused us, or maybe stole your heart, or your mind. And so now we are here, so we... And the joke is, you know, you joined something what you even really didn't know what actually it was.
Exactly.
that's the worst thing, you know.
Yeah.
How blind faith we had, you know, and because you joined something what we actually didn't. No, what it was, and even Prabhupada one time he told, if I would tell you everything, you know, you would not join. you remember that?
I remember something.
Yeah, so you remember something like that. It's maybe not exact quote, but he gave this kind. If I would tell you everything about our process, nobody would join.
Interesting. I've never looked at that coming into joining Krishna consciousness as that. I was still waiting for something else.
Yeah, what do you expect? You know, it will be a new Kurukshetra.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can maybe, in America, you have new Dwaraka, you have new Taliban, you have new this and new that. So you can also have a new Kurukshetra there. And new Kurukshetra, you know, with Radha Partasarati. Like in Delhi, you know, Prabhupada called it. Radha Partasarati, the deity is there in Delhi temple, the first temple.
So I'm already on the side of the Pandavas, right?
Well, we are great followers of the Pandavas, but not on the battlefield of Kurukshetra directly, then because we have not the caliber for that.
Okay. Thank you.
And then especially we are coming from women and Shudra or even worse background, they were not accepted on Kurukshetra war battlefield. They were sent home, you know. And what's his name? Amba. There were three princesses, Amba, Ambika, Ambalika. Amba, she wanted to marry Bhishma. But Bhishma said, because he stick to his vow of dharma, follower of dharma, I took vow that I will never marry brahmachari. So she became very upset. So this Amba. So she made a lot. She went to some brahmanas and Haribal, don't speak. She made severe tapasya, and she gave up her body. Actually, she changed changed the body in a male body. Yeah, she became a man because she was so much concentrated on Bhishma as an enemy. I want to kill him, but how can I kill him in a woman body? So I have to get a man body. And therefore, she became Shikhandi. Shikhandi, and she was destined. She was actually the princess Ashikandi, who became destined to become the cause of Bhishma's death. And on the last day of Bhishma's life, when he became shot by the arrows of Arjuna, it was because of Shikhandi. Shikhandi appeared before Bhishma to fight against him. And what Bhishma says? I will not fight against a woman. So that was the point. I will not fight against a woman. I will not fight against somebody who is lesser than a Kshatriya from the same caliber like me. That means a Maharati. Because it's a disgrace for a Maharat, from the Maharat point of view of Bhishma, to fight with somebody inferior, with a Vaishya, with a Shudra, even with an inferior Kshatriya, not to speak of a woman. Nobody would fight with a woman and kill or battle with a woman. It's the worst. It never happened in the war field in the Vedic stories. But Nowadays, all the big battle stars, you know, what are there in the movies? Women. Yeah, women become now the big heroes to kill everyone. anyway, so this the battlefield of Kurukshetra is over. So it's only one battle like that. Now we have to, according to our spiritual master and the acharyas, that will tell us. I mentioned this last time in the lecture. I don't know if you were still present, but I mentioned to protect Sampradaya. Our Sampradaya we have to protect and to defend from external influences who wants to destroy the Sampradaya. This is now our duty. Therefore we have to become very loyal followers of Srila Prabhupada and following Prabhupada's instructions and apply this in our lives, not only theoretically, also practical, and to give an example so that others also can follow, and that when deviation is taking place, you know, we have to do something to rectify it, otherwise it will influence the whole Sampradaya. That means today's Sampradaya, today's devotees. So we have to keep the devotees healthy in the spirit given by the Sampradaya, empowered by Krishna, and not inventing our own process.
Which has pretty much happened in India before Prabhupada revealed the culture.
Yeah. Believe it or not, it happens all over the world.
It's all over the world.
Yeah. But also in India.
India.
But in all over the world, this is sneaking in, this kind of Kali influences. Yeah, Prabhu. Yes.
All of these different things. I mean, nothing Prabhupada said was small. Everything he said was important.
Yes, very significant.
But some things have been minimalized by our own thinking.
Yes.
And have been left.
And by, not by our chastity or loyalty to Guru and Parampara, but to our mind.
That's
or or sentiment.
It's kind of the sense gratification. It's sense gratification.
Yeah, I'm something special, you know, if I wear a tilak in another way or in another color.
Yeah.
And not actually the Gopi Chandan tilak, what Prabhupada has given us.
And that's just a small example.
That's only a detail. A detail, but it's very important, I think.
Yeah.
And also mantra, and how to dress. So many devotees you see nowadays, they don't dress properly anymore. With dhoti and with kurta, like that.
Yeah.
Many don't do this anymore. They have yogi pants nowadays.
Yeah, yogi
pants. Even initiated devotees here in Vrindavan.
And women are doing
this. Same thing. I cannot speak about that. Otherwise, everyone will think, oh, he's only looking on that. How they're dressing, you know. But you are right. But you observed something, you know, and most probably it must be true.
Many, many years back, I was in a temple room chanting my japa, and these brahmachari boys were sitting there, and they had their heads all shaved up and everything, and I thought, that's the only way to look. You know?
Yeah.
And
I know.
But now we see,
you know what Prabhupada told about somebody grew hair.
Yes.
Hippie seeds.
Yes.
Hippie seeds. The hippie seeds. Even if they had good arguments, they were also argue like Arjuna with Krishna. And very good arguments, you know, for the mission. Prabhupada, we go to the West to preach, to distribute books, you know. It's better to have longer hair. Prabhupada said, I also came to the West, but I came shaven head. Yeah. And I never changed my dress. And still, so many devotees, so many people became attracted. They listened to me. So it's not. And even Prabhupada told the time will come. You know, they will imitate how the devotees dress and shave. And nowadays, you see, in the West, so many people that dress already like devotees, maybe without sikha, or sikha in another place. Yeah, Prabhu, you had a question.
Yes, no, I forgot it.
You forgot it?
Now I remember. The question was, Madhavi mentioned this point, no? You have to surrender your, not just mentally, you mentioned that you have to surrender to your guru mentally, not just chastity and your bodily. They altered the things. I am just trying to relate to that point.
Yeah.
The Madhavi said he surrendering this to your mind and not just to the chastity. Yeah. Anyway, my point I was trying to ask, you say try for best and prepare for worst. And you mentioned this point that sometimes we lost for mobile phone or something like that, you mentioned. Undetermined like anything, we get into so much anxiety. It only happens, like you said, we are unprepared. We are not ready to accept that, you know, this losing of that particular thing. We have and live like that, we are going to live forever. And suddenly if something happens and we start lamenting, how can this happen to me? And we know so much philosophy already. But despite of knowing all such philosophy, if something even like small source goes, then maybe we'll so much anxiety. So to have this nature of everything that we use and we get into touch and everything that we utilize in our daily life, to have this vision all the time, constantly aware, constantly conscious that if this thing is temporary, sooner or later this will go away. I'm trying to ask, how to remain in the conscious all the time? I mean, to have that vision. Because once you enjoy, you missed another point, that you can enjoy existence. Whenever you go for happiness, you cannot avoid this. This is very much, you know, with happiness, it's side by side, two points on one side. So how to remain in that mood all the time, that whatever I'm using, and is this introspection or what?
We can try. Therefore, we have sadhana, sadhana bhakti. So we are training ourselves, you know, to ultimately chant all the time. Kirtaniya Sadhari, or always think about Krishna, remember Krishna. But because we are not ready now, Guru gives us a sadhana process of a sufficient time of hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, etc. At least 7 of the processes of these 9, because full surrender, Atmanivedanam, and the friendship with Krishna is on Raga Mark. But the first 7 are on Vidhi Mark, of the 9 processes. So these 9 processes, Guru immediately teaches us how to chant, how long to chant, many rounds like that. Then hearing also what you chant, and participating in classes, Nastaprishu, Apatrishu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, remembering something what you heard, then becoming Krishna's servant,
worshipping Krishna, puja, like that. Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, offering obeisances, prayers to him. So all these sadhana Guru give us. Otherwise, if you don't follow this kind of sadhana, you cannot become initiated. You have to be ready for it and have already practiced for some time. And then with the time you become more and more steady. By the process it purifies you. Srinvatam Svakata Krishna. Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyante is Subhadrani Vitunoti Suritsatam. The heart becomes purified. The Lord will help you to purify, to give you a remembrance. So we only can give Krishna little finger. And show some willingness to surrender and to this process of hearing chanting. Although we don't completely succeed, Krishna will do the rest. He will give us more and more facility with the time, if you're serious. Even if you're not serious. Because sometimes we are not serious, still Krishna helps us and inspires us to go on. He never lets you down. If you one time say, Krishna, I belong to you, because that's his promise. He never let you go. And you're saved. It's only a question of time. So Krishna will help. And as Prabhupada said, even if you forget Krishna in the worst time of death, for example, then Krishna will appear and take you to him. It's not the ultimate. It's just it's a transfer to the new to new life.
Materially grow is the king. This is the ultimate thing for us. I mean, for every material body.
Yeah, in this body. Yeah.
So I was reading somewhere that those people who know their end, I mean their ultimate, this body end, which is to die someday or sooner or later. You're not sure about what. So those who are aware of process of their final thing, final destination, will not get into this profit or loss business. So I remind myself, this is the ultimate thing. What is the most important thing for us as a human being is our body, which is the cause of everything. And we are going to lose this sooner or later. So everything belongs to this body only. So whatever articles that we are using, enjoying, whatever, is also temporary by itself, by default. So wherever I use this different defense mechanism for myself, if I lose something, even I lost my mother also. So I was in this mood because when I hear this thing, I was on the bed. So I reminded myself of those things, everything is temporary, mother passed away. So I was very calm, very, very calm. Which even though I love my mother. So this philosophy helps you,
okay,
to cope up with this thing.
Okay. Why is the body so dear to us? It's because the dweller of the body is the soul. And why do we give so much attention to the body and the soul? Because the super soul is present. If the super soul and the soul leaves the body, then you have not any more attraction to the body. Then you have to burn it as fast as possible. Attachment, kissing and embracing as you did before. Because the body will not respond anymore. Why? Because the subtle body and the soul left. They're obviously not present anymore. And this also the acharyas make the point, We are lamenting about the demise of the body, that the body is somebody died. Although the body is still here. But we are not lamenting about the spirit soul and about the subtle body. Who is inside. Because they are not present anymore. The soul. Because as long the soul is embodied in this material samsara, is not liberated, the soul will travel with the subtle body to the next destination. But we don't lament about the subtle.
Because you can't see.
Therefore, we have to learn how to see with Jnana Chakshu, with the eyes of knowledge. That's the lesson also what Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita. So we have to learn with to see with the eyes of knowledge. That's how the sages see things. And therefore they don't lament about the living nor about the dead. That means they're not lamenting about the dead body, and also not about the living spirit, the departed soul or the subtle body. And the subtle body and gross body, they're all made of subtle and gross material elements. And so therefore they ultimately stay in the material world, in the prakriti. And only the soul will go to the soul. That means will go to Krishna. So we can only join Krishna with the spirit soul, with our identification as a servant of Krishna. So in this way we can enter in or connect with Krishna. We cannot connect Krishna with a temporary subtle or what to speak of gross material body. Because Krishna and even Vishnu, the creator of the universe, the Purusha, never comes in touch with the material energy, never comes in touch with Maya, with Prakriti. And those who accept this fact, that the Purusha never is touched by by Maya or Prakriti, is also liberated. Bhagavatam says. This is Bhagavatam statement. So we have to just be connected with Krishna and understand that Krishna never comes in contact with the material nature. Even if he has rasa dance and he marries 16,108 queens or dances with millions of gopis, this is not material. This is all under the influence of the Chichakti. That means eternal awareness of identity in relation to Krishna. It's not a manifestation of Achichakti. Maya, material body, is Achit. It's not conscious. But makes the consciousness in this world is the soul, and with the super soul. And that we have to ultimately realize and learn. That's the Bhagavad Gita school and the whole Bhagavad process. Okay? Good. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Jai. Svangre Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Hare Krishna.